CNBC TV 18, Adobe Presents Experience Makers.
Hello and welcome to Adobe Experience Makers, brought to you by CNBC TV 18. We have with us today two very special guests on the podcast, starting with Shoma Narayanan, who is Managing Director, Group Strategic Marketing and Communications at DBS India, and Anandita Veluri, Director, Marketing, Adobe India. Thank you so much, Shoma and Anandita, for being a part of this podcast.
Thank you, Paramita. Lovely being here.
Thanks, Paramita. Hi, Shoma. Great to be here.
Okay, Shoma, let me, throw the first one across to you. And really, it starts with the India story. And, just the other day, we saw about the kind of leap that OTT content platforms have actually taken in terms of subscriber base. We are seeing our internet users again leapfrogging. And it is said to be amongst the highest in the world. And we're clearly spending a lot of time watching and consuming, whether it is short form videos or content on OTT platforms or social media platforms. So, what's the backstory? I mean, give us a sense. I mean, why is it that we're seeing this explosion when it comes to demand for high quality content in India?
There are multiple things contributing to this, of course. One is, as with many such tipping points, is the price point. So there's far more availability of smartphones and internet connectivity. These have become far more affordable. So everyone across demographics has access to cheaper phones, to data plans. So there's a wide democratization, so to speak, of information as well as entertainment. So the type of content that perhaps was being consumed by your higher SECs is now available to a much wider audience. But because this wider audience has different needs, interests, levels of sophistication, the kind of content, even on exactly the same subject, so whether it's news, whether it's education, whether it's music, whether it's movies, there is now a lot of stratification in the kind of content people want to consume. And while, of course, on a completely separate note, as a parent, I am deeply concerned about the time, especially young people spend on their phones and on the internet, the fact does remain that overall, this is a very positive development. People are getting access to information that could potentially be life-changing for them. So, yeah, overall positive. And for marketers, it's made our job so much more complex, but also so much more exciting.
Right. I mean, as you said, from a parent perspective, and I echo that as well, it's clearly worrisome the way our kids are all glued to their various devices. But, it hasn't been a better time if you are consuming content, because there's so much of variety out there. And it's all, as you said, stratified. But that brings me to the next question. And Anandita, of course, putting the lens on companies, because as Shoma said, it's made, the jobs for companies, marketing heads, all that much more complicated. And it means you need to have the right strategy to create that kind of, focused content for your customers. What are your thoughts about what that strategy should shape up to be, particularly in today's digital age?
It's an interesting question. So obviously, very clearly, and I go back to what Shoma really said, it's democratization of information. Over here, it's really, looking at democratization of content. So if I really look at it, content is genuinely fueling the digital economy, and there is absolutely no two doubts about it, and it's accelerating that. If I look at some of the statistics, it's like 2.5 quintillion bytes of content that we create and curate every day, and the pace at which we are growing and accelerating from a digitization perspective, this is only going northwards. So if there's so much of data and content that we're consuming, I actually find it really surprising. I don't know if you people have given it a thought. I would like to believe that it's really a very, very important parameter, which is exactly what Shoma even alluded to. But for most organizations, this process is actually a little broken. It's a web of disconnected teams, siloed, angles and disconnected workflows, and systems. So for me, it's like, if you really look at it, what's really happening in this space? In my opinion, we've been looking at data, which is typically in my opinion, measurable metrics, quantifiable, you know, properties, relation to others. These are the kind of things that we're looking at from a data perspective. For me, content is data with a context. And that's really where it's the other side of the coin. And a big part of, you know, when we are talking as marketeers, you know, we talk about creating these exceptional experiences. We talk about understanding the end consumer in, you know, really well, in creating impacts. For that, you really need to develop the content. And especially given the fact that we have now AI and artificial intelligence here with machine learning, technologies playing a role, you know, it becomes very, very increasingly important. So for me, if you really ask me, what's happening in this space is that there's a huge amount of data. It's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the content part, which really needs to be addressed, hasn't really been given its due credit and attention. And which is why we at Adobe say it's a content debt that needs to be addressed and really needs to help brands deliver powerful experiences. Because the ability for us to actually create content that matters and the ability to streamline that content and go back to delivering it in a manner that's really, really personalized is going to be the crux of what we will be discussing.
Indeed, as you said, Anandit, I mean, I think you've laid out the key challenge for all marketers, for all of those who are really crafting the communication and customer experience side of the story using this content. So Shuma, you know, how do you respond to that? The fact that at one level, there is so much of data and, you know, some companies are slipping on that data, slipping up on content as well, because there's a mad rush as well to invest and really go ahead and be a part of all these various digital mediums. So how do you sort of make sense or come up with a strategy amongst all this noise, so to speak?
One of the advantages that I've had in my career is that I've always been in banking, and banking historically has dealt with far more data than other industries have, right? Because our customers are using their credit card, they're taking loans, they are, and there's just on the retail space, similarly on the SME side, there's a bunch of stuff happening. So as organizations, we are used to and we are set up to deal with large amounts of data. However, there are two big challenges that face us as marketers. One, of course, when you are kind of pitching or trying to sell to a very diverse, very fragmented audience, and you are also selling an entire suite of products, right? Right from retail banking to someone who's just started working, to investments and insurance, to a HNI client, to an SME, to a large corporate, completely different segments, completely different types of people, but however often end up being on the same platforms. Right, you'll have the CFO of a very large company also looking at his Instagram handle. You'll also have the kid who's just started working, looking at what the latest influencers just put up. Right, so I would break it up into two parts. One is, who are you trying to speak with? What platforms are you using? And that is very data driven. Right, because you're able to sell. So thankfully, with companies like Adobe helping us, you are able to actually segment and target to an extent that you were not able to do perhaps 10 years earlier, right? However, now the second part is, what are you telling these people, right? And there is an increasing need to engage with people even before they become your customers. So to harking back to my earlier point, we were used to dealing with data, but we were used to dealing with data for people who were already banking with us or already had a relationship with us at some point, right? Now what's happening is, A, the kind of sources people go to for information, whether on banking products, whether on overall which way the economy is going and so on, the number of sources of information have increased, especially during the pandemic. Digital adoption just went through the roof. You found a lot of people who weren't using digital means of banking now or investing, now getting onto digital and therefore discovering a whole new world, right? And therefore, the way they make decisions about who do they bank with has changed, right? And you therefore need to engage with them at multiple points before they become customers, while they're considering moving, when they're considering taking up a new product. And what you go to them with has to cue multiple things, right? You need to establish how you fit into their lives, right? What you can help with them with. And at DBS, we've tried a bunch of things across markets and in India in particular, because we are a relatively new brand growing rapidly. We tried every possible thing from a hugely successful web series, which is driven out of Singapore, but we've had a few episodes shot in India. So that was long format content. We worked with influencers. We have done the very traditional SEO and performance marketing piece. And we have tested and we have figured what works, what doesn't work. One big challenge from the data piece is also, you know what a customer is doing before they become your customer. Once they become your customer, because of data privacy norms, you often don't know what they're doing outside. You know?
Right.
Yeah, and that's something that every time I speak with a MarTech or someone who's vaguely related to MarTech, this is always something I kind of bring up, because yeah, I knew exactly what this customer was doing or this prospect was doing across multiple platforms earlier on, but once they become my customer, I can't. I really don't know. So I'm kind of, you know, groping in the dark in some place. Yeah.
Absolutely, because as you said, you know, banking is, of course, governed by such strict, you know, privacy laws, and you have the regulator as well dictating a lot of that. But, you know, you brought up some key themes about customizing the data and avoiding duplication and redundancy, despite the fact that the same customer is available and is really interacting with so many forms of the medium. Now, Anadita, how can, for instance, automation help in ensuring that it can actually free up a lot of these resources so it can be channelized in a manner which gives the kinds of dividend that, you know, a bank such as DBS wants to see?
I think, you know, if you really ask me, it's a very simple process. And if you really go back to it, it's a problem of plenty. We all know that, you know, we have just too much of data that's there. There are different forms of data. It's static, dynamic, visual. Now it's also becoming interactive, you know, so by the time you have to deal with all these various formats, that various channels that Shoma just alluded to. I think creative contents are the assets and the foundations of great experiences. And technology is creativity's co-pilot. And this is something that I personally believe, because when you talked about automation, we are actually leveraging technology. So if you really notice, I think there are three areas. And for us, when we do content supply chain, when we talk about content, we sort of demystify how organizations really can eliminate this kind of redundancy and duplication and build a streamlined supply chain. There are three phases to it. One's the planning, production, and the delivery. So really, if you really look at it from a planning perspective, it really starts with prioritizing and optimizing, you know, what you really want to do in the planning process. Okay, so if it is multiple work streams that you have to manage better, you need to, you know, use maybe templates and workflow management tools to streamline your approvals, or and even driving your planning decisions using a data-driven AI model. So all that, you start with the planning phase and you streamline that first. When it comes to production, really, you know, production is your empowering, and this goes back to the point that Shoma mentioned about democratization of information. We call it democratization of content, where you empower every individual within the organization actually to be able to become a creator and seamlessly allow them to create across platforms and collaborate with each other. And for that, I think you need basic tools and technologies, you know, and obviously from an Adobe perspective, we have these tools and technologies that really create those seamless workflows, you know. And the third part of it is really the delivery. So you've planned, you've got the creation, the production, and then how do you deliver that? And what we've seen from our organizations that we've interacted with is really have a central repository of all your assets which are connected in terms of from a message to a creation. And these central repository then is helps in automating and delivering it across multiple channels, which are very responsible across sizing and variabilities. So I think that also helps in you addressing the personalization problem that Shoma was talking about, and tracking insights so that your next best action is a far more informed decision. So I think for us, we break it up into these three, and these are some of the three simple steps for anybody who's really starting out that they can look at.
Shoma, you know, how do you respond to that? That most of the times it's a bit like us coming from, you know, television and film. I mean, you can add all the action sequences you want, but if you've got a bad script or you don't have a script, the film is unlikely to work. So similarly, you know, how do you respond to that point that, you know, if you don't have the right sort of plan, and where most importantly, you know, you get all the stakeholders on board, then no matter what investments you do, particularly on the technology side, you know, it's not going to reap those dividends.
There is a budget that each of us as a marketer has to deploy. And for every dollar that you spend, right, and regardless of the channel or product, what company you work for, every dollar you spend as a marketer either should get your brand value up, or so increase awareness, increase preference, consideration, or should actually result in a sale, so incremental revenue of some sort, or should move you towards some kind of a strategic objective, one of the three, right? Otherwise, you ideally shouldn't be spending that dollar. So our job as marketers, and content is just one part of it, right? So there's a content piece, there's a tech piece, there is the actual, and again, because when you're looking at full funnel marketing, you're also looking at the process after you get someone in at the top of the funnel, right? So what you need to focus on, in my view, is increase the top of the funnel as much as possible. Make sure you're getting the correct profile of customers in so that your marketing dollars aren't wasted. You're not perhaps spending money increasing awareness in a segment that you're not actually going to source from, right? So focus that awareness top of the funnel piece in the correct place. And that's where the tech tools really help in the digital area. And there are other surrogates you can use when it comes to traditional media. Move to the next step, which is when you're trying to get in your incremental business, right? And again, depending on which industry you are, so an industry like ours also spends a lot of money on existing customers, right? Through internal channels, you know? So you do need to also need to balance that out and make sure that you're spending enough to get more customers into the funnel. You're reducing drop-offs. You're getting customers into your sales process. Again, making sure drop-offs are minimal, and finally converting them. And then once you've converted them, you are engaging with them and making sure that they continue to see value with you. They increase share of wallet. And there are like a plethora of tools available to help you in each of these multiple stages. What we've done at every stage is try and figure out which is the best tool for a particular purpose. DBS specifically, of course, we use a lot of tools, including many of the Adobe tools. But because internal data is also super important and our own tech stack is extremely critical, so it's actually something that we say quite often and which still takes people by surprise, that we actually have more engineers in the company than we have bankers, right? Wow. Because we are digital first. We are trying to make sure that our products keep pace with how the market is evolving. But yeah, coming back to what we were discussing earlier, I think it's that main piece that you make sure you're connecting with the correct audience and that you're staying connected with them throughout the sales process and after as well. And okay, that's how you kind of focus your monies.
Right. And Shuma, you know, just your quick take, I mean, given the fact that, as you said, DBS is a relatively new entrant and, you know, competition is rife in this space in India, and especially perhaps for the kind of customer, and I could be wrong, that you're also targeting. Given that, you know, how are you sort of leveraging on some of these strategies and platforms and technology as well to really stay ahead of the game? Is it your in-house stack which is the secret sauce in your ingredients, or is it something else? Is it a combination of things?
It's a combination of things. And the tech stack is super important. The people serving our customers are equally, if not more, important, right? Because banking, finally, even when done through digital channels, there is an element of trust and an element of needing to be reassured that the bank is providing you advice and solutions which are suited for you. So our brand promise is an extremely interesting one. We say we enable you to live more and bank less. Right. And what we're trying to, we're not actually saying that we don't want you to bank. We are saying that we want to make banking fit seamlessly into our lives to the extent that it becomes nearly invisible, right? And that's across segments, across retail, across... and it's like, for example, when you're driving a car, you ideally don't want to think about the engine, right? So it's exactly the same about banking. People need banking, they may or may not actually need to speak with a banker, right? So the more seamless you are, the more embedded you are in what they need to do, the better it works. Now, how do you embed? Again, a lot of it is about the technology that you have backing your products and services. And there, thankfully, we are pretty advanced. Certain areas, we are using AI, ML, blockchain-based solutions. Then on the MarTech side, obviously, we are using a set of tools. But again, like I said, for us, that is more the top of the funnel piece. It's when the customer actually onboards with us that the actual magic happens.
Anandita, you know, you've been really advising a lot of companies and clients, whether it is in the banking space or otherwise across industries, in terms of how to really use technology and its platforms when it comes to building their content supply chain. And we are, many might say, at an inflection point when it comes to investments in some of these platforms, given you know, the direction that we're taking economically and coming back to that whole point of ROI. So, you know, just leave us with some thoughts in terms of where you see the market moving, the emerging trends and technologies, and really the future of content creation and distribution, and how businesses can keep pace and really ahead and in sync with their customer.
So I think, you know, a very fair point on the ROI, and I think that's something that we all need to keep an eye out for, because there is only that much. Okay, so the technology and the tools and the platforms will give you the advantage of efficiency and advantage of speed. Okay, the content will give you the context and the concept. Okay, the data will give you the insights, and all these three really come together to provide you the value that finally is going to be in terms of ROI, in terms of loyalty, in terms of retention, in terms of acquisition, be it top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, or bottom of the funnel. So I think that's really where we come in. But in terms of, if I look ahead, I think, and something that Shuma alluded to in terms of, and I know that DBS is an extremely mature digital bank, and it has very, it has one of the most seamless customer journeys, if I must say so, when it comes to onboarding. If I leave some thoughts behind, really, I think, you know, personalization of at scale, which is really going down to that individual customer, retaining that customer, understanding how you can add value to the lifestyle of that customer through, and going back to Shoma's point of how banking can really become invisible to him, is something that, you know, will be an area of further development and involvement. And to do that, I think, I mean, everybody's talking about it, but I personally feel, and of course, Adobe also has this huge, stay over here, which is generative AI. This is something that I think, we think AI is like, you know, will completely enhance and enhance the speed and the precision of actually delivering and acquiring customers. It's literally like the superpower when we need to meet the huge demand of the customers, the evolving dynamic landscape, and ensuring that we're staying true and human to the technology that we're delivering it through. You know, very recently, of course, Adobe did launch a Firefly, which was our Gen AI tool, which starts with, you know, image and text effects. And I think the biggest thing is designed to be safe for commercial use, because I think it's a very big responsibility when we talk about such technologies that are emerging, to be prepared to be responsible and to be transparent about how we're utilizing these technologies. The second, I think, is automation. We alluded to it, but AI-led automation, insight-led automation, which goes back to how do you continue to, once you get to the customer, how do you continue to retain and attract and continue to engage with that customer in a smart manner, so that, you know, you continue to add value to that customer. And I think the final thing, in my opinion, would be, how do you really democratize content? Make everyone empowered to make content, simplify the development, bring authoring capabilities into maybe commonly used tools, get everyone to be able to streamline that entire process so that, you know, speed, efficiency, and faster time to market is what we'll be looking at. So I think these are some of the thoughts that I had that I'd leave behind in addition to what we've already spoken about.
Right. Anandita and Shoma, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast, because the future clearly is one bursting with potential and one in which the customer is definitely in for a very interesting, if not a very immersive experience with brands such as yours, really looking at, you know, bringing to the forefront the kind of rich content that we are seeing and ensuring that it is customized to his or her needs. Thank you so much, Shoma Narayanan of DBS Bank and Anandita Velluri of Adobe India, for being a part of this podcast, which is a part of the Adobe Experience Makers, brought to you by CNBC TV18.
CNBC TV18, Adobe Present, Experience Makers.